It's time to dive into the latest news and updates from the Vegas Golden Knights. This is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
A beautiful Monday in the Vegas Valley. This is Nighttime at Noon. Brian McCormick, Justin Russo here with you. Lots to talk about as the Golden Knights continue a wildly successful homestand thus far. And frankly, the home schedule to this point, wildly successful for the Golden Knights, who are 6-0 at T-Mobile Arena, their best start at home in franchise history. We will discuss. We'll get you sent for tonight's puck drop against the Calgary Flames. We'll discuss Noche de los VGK, which comes at the end of the week on Saturday. Lots of exciting entertainment planned for T-Mobile Arena. We'll also have Ben Thomas, the director of Latino marketing and outreach for the Golden Knights, to discuss everything there is to look forward to for Los VGK when the Golden Knights take on Utah Hockey Club. Justin, that's a lot to cover, and I'm glad we have an hour to cover it. And also fans who are used to following us along on our streams, there's no digital streams on the Golden Knights social platforms this afternoon. The only place you can hang out with us is right here on Fox Sports Las Vegas, so please continue to do so. Justin, when the Golden Knights got back from their East Coast road trip and their swing through the Southeast, it was they picked up a point in Washington, but a couple of tough ones during a portion of the schedule, frankly, should be tough, and their first road trip nonetheless. How were they going to respond when they came home? Well, the way they've responded is by being, you could argue, the best offensive team in the National Hockey League for the last week and a half.
And I think what you take away from the last few road game or the home games as well is that in the third period, they've been able to push and extend leads, which is something that they weren't able to do on the road, right? You look at the games against Tampa Bay and Florida where they had late leads, especially the Tampa Bay game, give up two goals late, lose in regulation, don't pick up a point there. And again, on the Saturday in Florida, they dropped that one 4-3 in overtime, but I think you look at the games, especially against the Kings and the Senators, where they were within reach for those two games going into the third period, and the Golden Knights just put their foot to the floor and had consecutive games with three goals for, zero goals against, and I think that's the type of finishing they were looking for, because some of these issues dating back to last season in the third period and late in games were prominent for the VGK, and that was something that we saw in the last preseason game as well against the San Jose Sharks, where hey, it's exhibition, but you're trying to build your habits for the regular season, and it snuck in there at the last game. So I think coming back, the Golden Knights were focused, the team was focused, and I really like too what Bruce Cassidy did, and we talked to a lot of players about it, having the morning skate before the game against the San Jose Sharks. You don't typically see that on a back-to-back, but felt that the team needed to move forward after that win against Ottawa, wanted them to be ready for that Sharks team, even though they hadn't had a win to that point in regulation. They were the final team yet to get a win. Didn't want them to take them lightly, and the Golden Knights certainly didn't do that. They put up seven goals on the board, and I think a perfect homestand so far. You can't ask for much more if you're the Golden Knights. 6-6-7 are the goals that they scored in the first three games, and now they get a chance to finish it off strong against the Flames tonight.
And to your point, they wanted to come out strong against San Jose, a team that was limping into Vegas and is limping still, but not to leave anything up to chance after they had to fight back constantly in that game against the Senators and against the Sharks. What do? They come out and they score two goals in the first 4 minutes. Yeah. So, and again, playing from in front, never looked back. There's plenty of individuals who you can attribute this strong start to for the first-place Golden Knights, but usually we say, well, it's not just one player. It's certainly not one player, but it is about, eight or nine players, and we can start heaping some individual praise on them nonetheless, because it was announced earlier today by the NHL. The three stars of the week, Mark Stone has been named the NHL's number one star of the week as the first Golden Knight to earn first star of the week honors since March 6th of 2021, which was also Mark Stone. And if you look at the numbers that Mark Stone is putting up thus far, first of all, they've been not just tremendous production, but ridiculously consistent. Three straight multi-point games for Mark Stone on this homestand. Leads the NHL in scoring. He has points in 8 of 9 games.
It's been extremely impressive what that top line's been able to do, and it's not something that you typically see from this Golden Knights organization, where they've had some of the top flight players. Of course, they've had Stone and Eichel for quite a while now. They had Marchessault for all those years, and it was always done by committee, it felt like, by this Golden Knights team. And there wasn't an emphasis on typically one line or one player, at least over an entire season. But you're seeing right now is the Golden Knights are trying to work some new faces into the lineup, the likes of Holtz and Olofsson, and bringing up guys like Schwint and Bersan to get even more increased roles. that top line has just taken off, and it's been extremely impressive to just simply win them games at this point early in the season when things always haven't been going as well as maybe they could have for the VGK. You can count on Stone, Barbashev, and Eichel, and they get things done exactly when you need it. And the last game against San Jose is a perfect example of that, just continuing their strong pace. Really like the play that Eichel made behind the net out front to Stone, and he was able to sneak it by Vanecek. So the ways that these leaders have been able to now on the ice kind of take care of things for the Golden Knights. You know, we talk so much about their leadership, of course, Stone being the captain, but recognizing that, okay, might be a little bit of chemistry we have to find early on. Even guys like Noah Hanifin and Tomas Hertl, you know, they didn't have a full season last year with the Golden Knights, so working those guys into a full season now, you can see those top guys have just taken off.
Golden Knights right now have six players that are averaging a point per game or better through the first nine games of the season. Just a couple other stat lines to brush past. Jack Eichel has points in eight of nine games. He was an NHL Star of the Week earlier this month. Ivan Barbashev, four goals in his last five games. Alex Pietrangelo has eight assists in his last three.
Incredible.
And Tomas Hertl, who was after, not fair to say a slow start because it was a week and a half, but people are, okay, when is Tomas Hertl going to really look like he's comfortable in his gold garbs? Boy, is this homestand the moment. He's got 7 points over the last three.
And for Tomas, too, especially coming off of that road trip, a lot of what he was saying was that, okay, you know, I need to get my confidence back a little bit. It produced some points to that point, but then he explodes for that four-point performance against the Kings on Tuesday night, and that really just got him going. And you saw him get to his office right in front of the net. Really love that Stone and Hertl connection when, on the power play, they just find their spots, Stone at the side of the net, Hertl right in front, and it almost seems unstoppable. And it's one of those things where you hear about it all the time in sports where you know what's coming, you're aware of what we're about to do, now it's just on you to stop it. And for that Stone and Hertl connection, they just haven't been able to stop it of late. And you know what Tomas said before the game against the Sharks too, what makes this power play so dangerous is that, okay, you can overextend on Hertl, but okay, now Jack Eichel's back there in the left wing circle. Now he's got a shot that can score from anywhere. And then he got guys at the point with the likes of Pietrangelo or Theodore, Hanifin, whoever's running that top point in the power play. There are so many people
options
that are dangerous on this power play that Tomas pointed out that, okay, hey, that's fine. He said, if you want to overextend and overplay me, someone else is going to be open. And he trusts his teammates to make those plays when they happen.
I think the Hertl goal late against Ottawa was such a great example of that, too, because it is a penalty. It is a power play that is a penalty kill. You want to be able to take away pucks from up top because you're so aware of Hertl and Stone, how dangerous they can be as net front presences, as second opportunities around the net. So you want to take away anything that's going to come from up top, that's going to create ricochets, create chaos down low. But when you do that, they're going to beat you from down low.
Yep.
And when you can go Eichel on the half wall to Stone below the goal line, and you can either go to Hertl from there like they did, or you can have Eichel be the trigger man, like you need to worry about things from below the dots.
Yep.
It's so hard to take away both.
And just like you said, the different ways they can beat you, too, because it's not only can Eichel have that shot from the left wing circle, he's a great passer as well. He can find those cross seam passes, so you kind of have to respect everything, and you can't really take anything for granted, which makes it so tough for the opposing penalty kills. Golden Knights right now, their power play clicking at a 36% clip. It's been one of the strong parts of this season, and you know, for as much as we talk about that top line at 5-on-5, a lot of those guys getting going on the power play as well. Stone and Eichel. Barbashev, though, all of his points were coming at even strength heading into that Sharks game.
Yeah.
So he was getting it done at 5-on-5 while Stone and Eichel managing on the power play. But extremely impressive. And again, I think for a team where this wasn't their MO, right? This wasn't the way that Golden Knights have won games the past few years with this high-flying offense and the power plays and all this. To be able to, at least in this early part of the season when they need it, to transition to that and just explode all of a sudden is so important to build those points early in the year.
For the Golden Knights, certainly you talk about the reason when you're scoring as many goals as the Golden Knights are scoring, and again, through the homestand, I shouldn't say through the homestand, through the first six games of their home schedule, they've won six games. They have scored six or more goals four times.
Yeah.
In four of their six games, they've scored six or more, so they're going to get it from everywhere. And William Karlsson's return over the weekend only makes them deeper. You know, one of the things that really jumps out to me, though, Brett Howden has five goals.
Yeah.
Brett Howden has five goals, and it started from the usual depth position that we're used to seeing him. And this is a former first-round pick who became a checking center in the NHL. And since this season, now he's been elevated, and you put him with Tomas Hertl and Pavel Dorofeev, he's finding opportunities around the net. And boy, is Tomas Hertl, you know, we talk so much about his net front presence ability, but he's making plays off the rush.
The rush especially. I look at Brett Howden's first goal against the Sharks on Saturday night, the one where Theodore beats his man in the defensive zone, and right up the ice they go, hurdle to Dorofeev, and then finally over to Howden. And that line has been so impressive at just creating things. And we've seen that from Brett Howden too, right? And there was some questions about where Brett Howden would fit because he was so typically with Stevenson Stone, that kind of pair on that second line. Well, now Mark Stone elevates to the top line with Chandler Stevenson gone. So where does Brett Howden fit? And I think it says a lot for Bruce Cassidy that he trusts him in so many different roles, right? We see him down there with the fourth line with the likes of, you know, Keegan Kolesar, Cole Schwinn, whoever's down there, Nick Waugh at times. And he can fill that role, right? He's a center and a wing. He can do everything defensively. He knows his responsibilities in the defensive zone. But to your point on the rush, he's been so good at just getting to the net and trusting that the playmakers in Hurdle and Dorofeev are going to find him. And they certainly did in that San Jose Sharks game where he had a couple of goals on the board. And, you know, when you look at his season or career high in a single season, he's approaching that mark already this early in goals. And it's such a boost to have when we talked about the missing goals from this lineup for the Golden Knights. Where would you find them? Brett Howden, maybe not a guy that a lot of people thought of, but he is exceeding expectations so far.
Great start for him. Great start for Tanner Pearson. Keegan Kolesar has a big goal already this season. It really is coming from all ends of the lineup for the Golden Knights as they get set to take on tonight a Calgary Flames team that got off to a terrific start as well. They've come back to earth a little bit in the last week. They started 4-0. They're 1-2-1 in their last four. That includes that one win. Was a shootout against Pittsburgh that was anything but a sure thing. So they're a little bit returning to the stratosphere, but nonetheless a talented team that is getting a ridiculous start from the blue line from Rasmus Anderson.
Yeah, and I think a team, too, where you look at what the Golden Knights were able to do on this homestand coming in where they were looking for some wins, right? I think the Flames, even though they won that game against Pittsburgh, probably wasn't up to their standard, and then they lose a couple against two good teams, albeit in Carolina and Winnipeg, but now they have a chance to get on the road, kind of regroup themselves, and they're certainly looking for a hot start against the Golden Knights tonight.
And that's to your point for Calgary, again, the games they lost, Carolina's a strong team, and of course, no team has had a better start than the Winnipeg Jets.
No, so not at all.
They didn't lose games to be ashamed of, but nonetheless, they're looking to get right, and they're coming into a tough building to do that, and the Golden Knights will try to keep the positivity going against a couple of former Golden Knights in Calgary, Anthony Mantha, Daniil Mirimanov, and Braden Pahal. That trio's been in the lineup pretty much every night, so I assume we'll probably see them tonight as well for a Calgary Flames team looking to get back in the win column. We'll step out, but before we do, we remind you to mark your calendars for this Sunday because the team's annual charity gala is back and better than ever. If you're ready for a night of glamour, fun, and an opportunity to support our local community, this will be the event for you. A Golden Night Gala will be held at Fountain Blue for the first time ever. Attendees will experience live entertainment as well as appearances by VGK players, coaches, and front office staff. Tickets are on sale now, starting at $500, so don't miss out on this dazzling occasion. For more information, head over to the VGK website. We'll see you there, VGK Gala, this Sunday at Fountain Blue. We'll step out when we come back. More VGK talk. Of course, that's what you would expect on Nighttime at Noon. We'll talk a little bit about Shea Theodore's new extension and some news from around the league as well. We're also going to be talking about Noche de los VGK that's coming this weekend at T-Mobile Arena. It's all straight ahead. Brian McCormick, Justin Russo here with you on Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Golden Knights fans, don't you wish you could keep up with the VGK right at the touch of your phone screen? Well, now you can with the official mobile app of the Vegas Golden Knights. You can scan, buy, and transfer tickets. You can play new exclusive games, access live stats, receive game updates, and so much more. The official mobile app of the Vegas Golden Knights is available now on your smartphone through the App Store and Google Play. Justin, do you have the new VGK official mobile app?
Of course I do, Brian.
Do you?
It's the best thing in the world.
Do you spend time with it all the time?
You know, it's one of those things you have to put a screen limit on because you gotta temper yourself a little bit. But it's hard to. I put the 23-hour screen limit on, so I have 1 hour in the rest of the day for me to do something else.
Fans, I'm gonna be completely honest with you. I'm gonna break down the fourth wall. Are you ready? Justin has the app open right now, and everything he's saying on this program, he's basically reading from the app. So you could have the expertise to host the show yourself if only you get the official mobile app.
Of course.
Justin is essentially the manifestation of AI. Mm-hmm. He's just regurgitating VGK mobile app data.
Am I actually even here? Who knows?
That's I can assure you he is. This is Nighttime at Noon. Brian McCormick, Justin Russo here with you. We are not streaming on our digital platforms today as we often do for Nighttime at Noon, so just stick with us here on Fox Sports Las Vegas. If you do want to interact with us, however, we welcome that. We encourage that. We beg you for that. Lexi, our grad assistant, is manning the social channels. So if you tweet at the VGK, tweet at the show, we will find out about it, and we will respond in kind. Well, we talked a little bit about the Golden Knights getting set for tonight against the Calgary Flames. We also are looking forward to this coming Saturday when the Golden Knights will face the Utah Hockey Club and celebrate Noche de los VGK. We are going to have Ben Thomas, who is the Director of Latino Marketing and Outreach for Los VGK. He's going to join the show in our next segment, so just a little bit after the bottom of the hour, to take us through some of the things to look forward to and how this evening was put together. But, you know, we Justin and I, of course, are so constantly involved with things going on with the Henderson Silver Knights across town. They had Noche de los HSK last Wednesday, so we got a little bit of a head start on the Hispanic Heritage Fund. Some similar activations in both buildings, you know, the basic things, your folklorico dancers, your face painting. There's more to look forward to. We're going to save some of the specifics for Ben because we want him to be able to talk about it. But, again, we had fun in Henderson. That included luchador wrestling.
Yes. That might have been the highlight for me. That was fun.
We had, for anyone who wasn't there or doesn't know what I'm talking about, Future Stars of Wrestling is a wrestling academy in Henderson that has partnered with the Silver Knights before, and they were kind enough to come out to Lee's Family Forum. They set up a wrestling ring in the lobby, basically just inside the tilt yard doors, behind where we do our broadcast.
Yes.
And they had wrestling during the first and the second intermissions. Fans came out to the concourse to watch, got a great review. It did kind of make it hard for Justin to do his intermission recaps, however, with all the crashing and banging happening 10 feet behind
him. But it made up for it because they did show it on the Jumbotron for me, so I did get to actually see it as well, which was pretty fun. I got distracted a couple times, but we made it through.
And that was a rough evening for the Silver Knights on the scoreboard, so it gave you an opportunity, rather than going through the highlights of the game itself, you were just doing play-by-play of wrestling for everyone.
Of course, that was really fun.
But we had our fun, and then the Golden Knights have massive plans to come. Just to run through a couple of them, again, we're going to let Ben speak to them with specificity. It will fall on Dia de los Muertos weekend, so there will certainly be for the holiday itself, a combination of fun at the arena, but the spirituality of Hispanic heritage for Dia de los Muertos, that's going to include an ofrenda at the arena so that fans can honor their departed. There will be a Sugar Skull VGK Shield logo that was designed by Stephanie Swamanen in our graphic design department with the VGK. She did a lot of work for the Silver Knights as well, so her work will be on full display. There will be rally towels. There will be all kinds of fun on Toshiba Plaza. And there's also going to be some representatives from the Mexican Ice Hockey Federation and a Mexican youth team to take part in Mites on Mites at Night as well during the intermission. So lots of fun, lots to look forward to. And a meeting with the Utah Hockey Club, which on the hockey side is going to add a little bit of intrigue as well.
Yeah, the first regular season meeting between the two teams. And for the Utah Hockey Club, kind of a similar story to the Calgary Flames, where off to that hot start, cooled down just a little bit. So they're going to be looking to come into a tough building in Vegas for the first time and try to get a win with the Utah crest on their jersey at the very least, even though a lot of the guys have played in that building before. But it should be a fun one. And for the Golden Knights, interesting week in terms of the scheduling, where they have the one game in L.A. on the Wednesday, then they come back home for the Utah Hockey Club on Saturday, but certainly looking to bookend it with a couple of home wins against the Flames and the Utah Hockey Club.
Let's zoom out a tad. We'll get back to the Golden Knights as a whole. And, you know, we talked about this a little bit in our last segment when we were pretty much just saying how well everything is going for the Golden Knights of late. But certainly you got to include the back end in that, where Noah Hanifin is off to a great start. Alex Pietrangelo is off to a tremendous start. And not only is Shea Theodore playing well, but Shea Theodore also has now committed to the Golden Knights, and they to him for the foreseeable future, announced that Shea Theodore has signed a 7-year contract extension with the Golden Knights. It was announced to carry an average annual value of $7.425, roughly, and takes that deal through the 2031-32 season. And, you know, first of all, for the production the Golden Knights have gotten out of Shea Theodore, it's so important for them that they keep him in the fold. But now, I mean, just if you look beyond this season with that extension, you have Alex Pietrangelo's under contract for three more seasons. Mm-hmm. Noah Hanifin just signed his extension during the offseason. Shea Theodore is locked up. And when you look at the dollar figures attached to those three, when you see some of the deals that have been dished out to blue liners in recent memory, it's a pretty affordable trio to bring what they bring. I mean, you've basically locked up, you could argue, at minimum, the top four defensemen in the National Hockey League, or at least the top four unit and how they work together, for a really, really good cap hit.
And, yeah, and I think the point you bring up about kind of what they bring to this team, it's you have your specialized defenseman, if you will. Some guys are, you know, the defensive type where they're going to shut down things. And then you have your Cale Makars who go out there and rack up points like it's nothing. But it's a beautiful blend for the three of those guys that you mentioned for sure, between Pietrangelo, Hanifin, and Theodore, that they can bring in on both ends of the ice. That they're not afraid to be physical on the back end. They're good in their own zone, getting pucks out. They don't often make mistakes, but they also can contribute offensively. And like we saw or even talked about with some of the power play, you could trust any one of those three guys to run a power play unit. You know what they bring offensively in terms of their playmaking. We've seen it with Alex Pietrangelo over the past handful of games. Now 11 assists on the year for Alex Pietrangelo, so you know what he brings. But for Shea Theodore, too, I think it's a win-win deal for both sides. You have a guy in Shea who's already been here, and now he has that security where he's going to be here for a longer term. And I think the team's extremely happy with the dollar value that they get him at, and of course just having him around and solidifying that back end for many years to come. And that was one of the things that we harped on a lot during the Stanley Cup run for the Golden Knights, was their decor and how strong it was and how consistent it was and how deep it was, really, too, because there were guys that weren't getting in the lineup consistently, like Ben Hutton, who also will be around for a little bit longer as well with the VGK, who you could throw in at any time. You trust Ben Hutton to make a play. Now they have Caden Korzak, too. So they maintain that depth on the blue line, and they keep their top guys now in Hanifin, Pietrangelo, and Theodore for a long time.
And just to give a little bit of perspective, and this is going off of Puckpedia. That's the reference I've got in front of me. But you have Alex Pietrangelo for the next this season and two more at 8.8. Noah Hanifin at 7.35 through 2032. And now Shea Theodore at 7.425 through 2032. Looking at some other comparables, the Rangers are paying Adam Fox 9.5 and Jacob Trouba 8. The Buffalo Sabres are paying Rasmus Dahlin 11 and Owen Power 8.35. The Boston Bruins are paying Charlie McAvoy 9.5. And the Colorado Avalanche are paying Cale Makar 9 and Devon Taves 7.25. Now, again, of all those numbers I just rattled off, there's some good ones in there, too.
Oh, for sure.
The Avalanche having Devon Taves for 7.25 is
absolutely,
they're proud of that. But for the Golden Knights, Alex Pietrangelo at a reasonable number for a few more years, and we'll see what goes from there. Noah Hanifin at the age of 27, Shea Theodore at the age of 29. You've got three elite defensemen at really good numbers and a salary cap that we all project is going to go up as well. The Golden Knights are very comfortable in their financial situation while securing several players who have made them the Cup contenders and the Cup winners in recent years that they are.
And I think it speaks a lot about not only the commitment from the Golden Knights to those guys, but those guys' commitment to being here and wanting to win with the Vegas Golden Knights, too, and recognizing this is a great place for them to do that, a great opportunity. And, of course, in Pietrangelo and Theodore, you have a couple of guys who have won with the Golden Knights, and Noah Hanifin seeing that vision, of course, now getting to play with one of his good friends in Jack Eichel for the long term here in Vegas and trying to win a Stanley Cup himself here with the Golden Knights. But I think it's extremely impressive because of, you know, where the Golden Knights are in terms of contending, too. And it's tough for contending teams at times to maintain that level when you see a Connor McDavid and a Leon Draisaitl. You have to throw the money at them that they rightly deserve, but it's how you fill out the rest of the lineup. And that's where I think the Golden Knights deserve a lot of credit in filling out the rest of that lineup in the right way to maintain that competitiveness.
Enviable blue line for the foreseeable future for the Golden Knights. Other business that was done earlier in the week, or it's Monday, last week technically. Alexei Lafreniere gets an extension from the Rangers, 7.45. Through 2032, similar conversation, and he's 23 years old. That's another nice bit of business for Chris Drury. That's another contract that's going to age well. We've seen some pretty good deals signed over the last couple months for what we expect is going to be an NHL atmosphere financially, where the cap goes up and everyone's going to have some breathing room. We've still seen some good deals that were pulled by GMs around the league.
And I think that just for the fans overall is good for everyone, because then you have a lot of competitive teams, right? They can be able to field better teams. Your cap isn't tied up in a smaller percentage of players, where you can fill out those rosters a little bit better, and there's more room for kind of everyone to eat. And for the entire league in the NHL, it's always been about parity, right? You know, that's one of the things that we love about the league, and anyone on any given night can win a game. But I think it just serves that even better as the salary cap goes up.
And, again, for Alexi Lafreniere, he gets his extension, and he looks like he's ready to build off of last year. Now Chris Drury's attention will turn towards Igor Shesterkin. That's the next
the hot
deal
topic
he needs to get done. We'll hop out when we come back. We expect to have Ben Thomas in the room. Ben Thomas, the Director of Latino Marketing and Outreach for Los VGK. We'll talk Noche de Los VGK on the other side of the break. Brian McCormick, Justin Russo here with you. You're listening to Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Live from City National Arena, this is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Part of the Foley Entertainment Group, AFC Bournemouth, is climbing the table in the English Premier League, where they take on some of the best football teams in the world. Show your support for the Cherries by catching their matches via stream on NBC's Premier League coverage or streaming on Peacock. Make sure to also visit the Arsenal at City National Arena to pick up some Bournemouth merch, including jerseys, scarves, and more. To learn more and be a part of the club's exciting new era, make sure to visit afcb.co.uk. That's afcb.co.uk. And up the Cherries. Nighttime at Noon, Brian McCormick, Justin Russo here with you, and we are now joined by Ben Thomas, who is the Director of Latino Marketing and Outreach for Los VGK. Noche de Los VGK is this Saturday when the Golden Knights host the Utah Hockey Club. And Ben, there's so many exciting things to talk about. First of all, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Ben, we had Noche de Los HSK last week with the Henderson Silver Knights, which you were also very heavily involved in. Fans loved it, had a lot of fun. This is an area of Hispanic outreach that for multiple seasons now the Golden Knights have made major strides in, and a lot of efforts for connecting the game to Hispanic communities. This night is a very important part of that campaign.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we've done a lot of work to make sure that we're reaching our Spanish-speaking Golden Knights fans, you know, far and wide. But, you know, it's very important that we come back to the fortress and get to celebrate as a community and have our own night there. So, yeah, it's a big piece of the puzzle.
And, you know, when you talk about Noche VGK, Noche HSK as well, you know, one thing, I had a chance to speak with Jesus Lopez last week before the Silver Knights game, and one thing that stood out to me was the fact that, you know, it is fun and it's a celebration, but it's also an important night to get some history about, you know, some of the Latin American cultures and things of that nature. So can you talk about kind of the mesh of that in terms of the celebration, but also a learning moment for a lot of fans?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's a big opportunity to really celebrate and represent what it is to be Hispanic or Latin American. But yeah, you know, there's a lot of opportunity for education. So for example, our Noche de los VGK is going to land on Dia de Muertos. So, you know, if you're familiar with, you know, the sugar skulls and the Katrinas and that kind of, you know, that representation of Latin American culture, you know, we're going to have an ofrenda there, an altar, right? And we'll have people from the Mexican consulate, and they'll be there explaining, you know, what is this tradition and why do we do it and why is this day specifically important? So, yeah, I mean, you know, there's a lot of room there for us to be able to just educate on our traditions and our culture.
And, Ben, I think what's interesting is for Golden Knights fans, Silver Knights fans last week as well, you're serving both audiences. You're allowing fans that maybe don't have that much interaction with Hispanic culture to do so at a hockey game and enjoy the evening and enjoy those elements, you know, things like face painting, mariachi bands, things like that. But then, as you mentioned, there's the more culturally integral, the spiritual end of it for Dia de los Muertos that is also important to the Hispanic community. So you're both allowing fans to enjoy the fun and some of the surface elements that they come in contact with, but also the deeper cultural meanings.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there's going to be some really cool elements there that, you know, are really, yes, they are Hispanic and Latino elements, but they also bleed into American culture as well. So, yeah, like Dia de Muertos, but we'll also have, you know, low riders and classic cars there this year. So that's, you know, that's something that, you know, even, you know, the non-Latin American fans will be familiar with. You know, music, EDM, food, like all of these things kind of, yes, they are Hispanic and Latino, and it's really important that we have them there. But, you know, they're things that everybody can enjoy regardless of, you know, who they are and what they come from.
Now, you mentioned the lowrider cars. We saw those at Lee's Family Forum last weekend as well. We also had the company of, you mentioned Jesus Lopez, we had on the HSK Today show last week. We had him in the building to broadcast the game as well, something that Golden Knights fans have all the time. Silver Knights fans got to hear Jesus Lopez call a Silver Knights goal. And Ruben's going to help us back in the studio. It sounded like this.
Viene nuevamente el equipo de San José. El pase le pega a su propio compañero con ese disparo. Ahora viene por derecha el equipo de Henderson. Atento está el jugador de Henderson Silver Knights. Recibe el número 47, pero no puede hacer nada con él. Denisenko juega con el número 5. Lo pone el disparo. El portero bloqueando. Gage Queenie por el costado derecho. El pase es bueno. Viene el disparo. ¡Gol! Ahí está el primero de los Henderson Silver Knights. Es el jugador número 65, Dizzy Mayo, que pone acortando la distancia a 3-1 y despierta el público aquí en la Lee's Family Forum con ese gol. Disparo de larga distancia.
Lopez calling the Silver Knights game last week. Ben, I'm going to be completely honest with you. Spanish, I took some in school. I don't speak it fluently. I did understand Denisenko, Gage Queenie, and Mayo, yep. and goal. And also, that's so intimidating. I could never hold that note for that long. Jesus
no.
Lopez is among
incredible.
One of the best of the best. But you know, what a resource that is for Golden Knights fans as we celebrate Noche de los VGK this weekend. That's going to be a night centered around it. But Jesus is such a great ambassador of the game to the Hispanic community all year long.
Yeah, absolutely. In goal, that's universal. so, yeah, you know, having Jesus be able to narrate those games in Spanish and make sure that they're accessible, it's great. And, you know, if you're familiar with soccer, I grew up playing soccer. If you're familiar with that, then you can watch and enjoy hockey and follow along and you won't be so lost. So that's really awesome to have. That's something that's, you know, it's been on the radio for our home games. Now we have it as the SAP feature on Nighttime Plus and, you know, on our broadcast on the local terrestrial wave there. So, yeah, you know, it's really cool and everybody gets to enjoy it. And we're really happy that we were able to have Jesus out at the Henderson game last week and, you know, at all of our home games now.
One thing that I talked with Jesus about was just the passion that hockey has and similarities with a sport like soccer where the style of broadcasting lends itself so well to hockey as well. And, you know, I wonder for a lot of youth in this area, especially Latin American youth, where you know, you look at a sport in hockey that came in 7 years ago with the Golden Knights and maybe it was a bit foreign to them. You know, they're learning it on the fly. But as hockey continues to grow and they continue to take to it in this market, I'm sure it's cool for you to see kids that are just growing up with it naturally now here in Vegas.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we've done like our Los VGK ball hockey clinics where we go out and, you know, last season it was a lot of, you know, hey, this is how you hold the stick. And now we're going back to school and, you know, the kids are already like, oh, I already have a Los VGK shirt. I already know how to hold the stick. And that's really cool to see it grow. And yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, having the games accessible and seeing VGK everywhere has a big part of that.
We're with Ben Thomas, the Director of Latino Marketing and Outreach for Los VGK. Noche de los VGK will be Saturday against the Utah Hockey Club. The VGK Noche de los VGK ticket pack is still available for $69. You can get a VGK Sugar Skull bobblehead along with your tickets, so make sure you check that out while supplies last. Ben, talking about the outreach to the community and putting sticks in the hands of kids in Hispanic communities and introducing them to the game, looking at the plans for Noche de los VGK, one of the ones that stood out to me is really neat is the Mexican Ice Hockey Federation president, Diego de la Garma, is going to be there to sound the siren. And we're going to have the Metepec Buffaloes, if I'm pronouncing that right, for Mites at Night during the game, too. Of course, the Golden Knights have taken such a leap forward this year, going to Mexico to help grow the game. But this makes me realize it's a twofold project. You want to bring the game to the kids in these communities, but on a night like this, when they're going to be on the ice surrounded by, you know, 18,000 people, sometimes it still is important to not just bring the game to the kids, but bring the kids to the game.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we were lucky enough to connect with the Mexican Ice Hockey Federation and go out to Metepec to do these on-ice clinics and a fan fest. And you're right, you know, the second part of that is, you know, we're going out there and connecting with our fans, but we also want those fans to come to the Fortress and come to a game and be a part of it. So, yeah, you know, shout out to our youth hockey program director, Sherry Hudspeth, for coordinating a lot of that. But we're really excited to have those kids, you know, they're going to come here, they're going to play against some of the Junior Knights teams on Saturday and Sunday. And they're also going to attend the game and then play, you know, in an intermission in front of 18,000 people. So, yeah, really excited about that.
It's going to be great to see everything on Saturday coming up for Noche de los VGK. But this is a year-long process for Los VGK as well. And there are, of course, things that are happening in the community all year round. So I wonder if you could share some of the things that, you know, don't happen on game days that are in part of the outreach for the VGK.
Yeah, absolutely. So with Los VGK, kind of our threefold approach is, we want to grow the game, we want to make sure that we're communicating authentically with our fans, and we want to keep building these community alliances. So, you know, some of those initiatives are the ball hockey. The other ones are, we just recently translated our website into Spanish. Every single article and page that goes up is also translated into Spanish. We launched social media channels, Facebook, WhatsApp. We have X and Instagram. And, you know, we're really just making sure that the Vegas Golden Knights are interacting and engaging, connecting, and, you know, representing and celebrating the Hispanic Vegas Golden Knights fans all year long. You know, and that it's not really just confined to September 15th, October 15th.
Yeah.
We can really just keep doing this all year.
Ben, the Hispanic community makes up such a large percentage of Clark County. You've already mentioned how at some of these ball hockey tournaments, you see the response of the kids from the work done in past years, that it is taking root. But what's some of the other feedback you hear from Hispanic fans towards your efforts and the growth of the game in their neighborhoods?
You know, it's really positive, like overwhelmingly positive. You know, one of the comments that really stood out, last year we did a mural in the Arts District at Casa Don Juan, and it's this big, you know, 500-square-foot mural. And we heard, you know, through the grapevine, somebody made the comment that it made them feel really welcome in the community when they see their art and their culture, you know, so represented in the community. And for the Vegas Golden Knights to be a part of that and to have a piece of that and to be in that conversation is really awesome. So, yeah, I mean, overwhelmingly positive feedback.
Well, we talked a lot about the activations that are going to happen in Noche de los VGK. But for you, what are you most excited to take part in?
I'm excited for it all, really. You know, this is one of those where on the back of coming back from Mexico, a lot of planning and thought has gone into how do we take our Hispanic Heritage Night and expand it and make it, you know, just bigger and all-encompassing. So I'm really just kind of excited to see it all unfold.
Yeah.
Will you take part in the face painting?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right and early. I'll be there.
It's going to be so much fun for Golden Knights fans. Noche de los VGK, Saturday against the Utah Hockey Club. Again, the Noche de los VGK ticket pack still available. $69 gets you a ticket and a VGK Sugar Skull bobblehead, limited collectible item, so you're going to make sure you get your hands on that. All fans in attendance will get a rally towel. We're going to see Folklorico dancers, mariachi, face painters, the Metapec Buffaloes for Mites at night, and so much more. Lowrider cars as well. So much more throughout the night. A lot of the hard work done by Ben Thomas to make this all happen. Ben, thanks for joining us. We're really looking forward to it.
Thanks.
That's Ben Thomas. And also, again, just a tip of the cap for Stephanie Suominen, whose design work will be so prominently featured throughout the night as well, including on the Sugar Skull VGK Shield logo. We'll step out. When we come back, we'll wrap things up for Nighttime at Noon. Brian McCormick and Justin Russo here with you on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Golden Knights fans, do you suffer from the affliction that you can't get enough hockey? It's very common, and we have the solution. Lee's Family Forum is the place for you. Home of the Henderson Silver Knights, you'll be able to get even more hockey. The team kicks off their next stretch of home games this weekend against the Ontario Reign. They'll play on Friday, the first of a home-and-home. And we want to see you there. Get your tickets at hendersonsilverknights.com, hendersonsilverknights.com. Brian McCormick, Justin Russo here with you. We've got Lexi, our grad assistant, manning the social media sites. She has not yet frantically waved in our direction. Vice President of Communications Nate Ewell is also in the studio. He walked in, and I initially thought that we were getting pulled off the air, but he's just here to keep us company. And as we wrap things up on a Monday afternoon on Nighttime at Noon, great having Ben Thomas in the studio,
yeah.
Justin, just to talk about all the exciting activations for Noche de los VGK. Again, we had our Noche de los HSK fun last week, so the Lowrider cars, we got to see how cool that was. They'll be at T-Mobile Arena as well. But as Ben says, and it's why Ben's position exists, particularly in this market, it's going to be a great night. It's going to be a lot of fun, but it's a year-round effort for the Golden Knights.
For sure, and I think it's just continued to grow year over year, like he said, where you look at some of these youth clinics, and it turns from trying to figure out how to hold the stick to these kids already know what to do. They're going to be the next Jack Eichel right away. So the growth has just been insane, and it's super fun to have a lot of these initiatives, both with the Silver Knights and the Golden Knights, and it's going to be a great time. And, you know, when I talked to Jesus last week, he mentioned he speaks in 385 words a minute. I've never kept track of, you know, how fast you or Dan Duva or Dave Gosher talks, but that seems like a solid amount to me. I don't know if I can keep up.
I've been accused of speaking at 385 words per minute, but it's never a compliment. But Jesus is just tremendously talented. So much fun game to work with him, and we have the opportunity, and such a great asset for the fan base as a whole as well. We're going to be having more opportunities to chat with him throughout the year, no question, in line with his day-to-day work with the Golden Knights. I will say, looking at the Noche de los VGK festivities that are planned, for the youth team from Mexico that's going to be taking part in Mai tonight, can you fathom just what that atmosphere is going to be like for a young kid who's, again, familiarizing themselves with the National Hockey League in general, and then to have the opportunity to come and see the atmosphere? People who are diehard hockey fans from all over this continent.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say continent. Mexico's in this continent. You know, this country in
quick
Canada.
Quick geography lesson.
This country in Canada. You know, people who engage with the NHL all the time in their own markets come to Vegas for the spectacle and the thrill of how the show is put together here. And, of course, the Golden Knights have done a lot of good on the ice as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, if a guy from Calgary is going to fly here and get blown away, being a young kid playing at T-Mobile Arena, I can't put that together, how cool that's going
to
be.
And I think that's right there how you make these young kids fall in love with hockey, right? It's one thing to go to the game. To be able to play on the ice during the intermission, that's a whole other thing completely. And that's something they're going to remember for the rest of their lives. And it's such a cool initiative that they are able to make it happen. And I can't wait to see that. That might be the game within the game on Saturday. Vegas and Utah, sure. But let's see those mites on ice.
And that will be Saturday, a 7 o'clock puck drop against Utah Hockey Club. If you can't join us in person, I highly, highly recommend that you do. But if you can't, that game will be on Scripps. You can watch all the fun with Dave and Shane and Darren Millard and the group. Turning our attention back to the here and now, it's a 7 o'clock puck drop tonight against the Calgary Flames at T-Mobile Arena. The Golden Knights have won 6 in a row on home ice to start the season. It is their best home start in franchise history. Banging on all cylinders at this point and facing a Calgary team that, as we mentioned, a great start. Little bit of a sputter over the last week, but nothing that they should be overly alarmed about. They lost a couple of games to some good teams. They've got a couple of guys who are rolling out of the gate. Jonathan Huberdeau has had some trouble in the early portion of his Calgary career. He's off to a nice start as well.
Welcome sight for the Flames, and I think for a team last year that sold off the team a little bit at the trade deadline, looking to insert some of those younger guys into the lineup, Martin Pospisil, Connor Zary. We saw Dustin Wolf with that shootout win over the Penguins, so a lot of those guys are starting to ramp up their game. And don't mention the Calgary Wranglers as well. If you haven't been following AHL hockey, they're the hottest team in the AHL too. So the whole organization in Calgary is doing solid right now. But, you know, I think for the Golden Knights and what Bruce Cassidy has even said most recently in this past homestand is that they have to focus on themselves first, and then they'll get to their opponent next. And it's about executing what they can do first and then assessing what the other team does well, doesn't do well, and then they'll go from there. But it's the Golden Knights game first and foremost, and they feel that if they take care of what they believe is important to their game, they're going to come out with a win.
And Dustin Wolf is such an interesting player on the Calgary side. As a Golden Knights fan, the visiting team coming in, who do you want to keep an eye on? Dustin Wolf is one because he has been one of the best goaltenders in the world, not in the NHL, for the last 3 years. He was a two-time goaltender of the year and an MVP in the American Hockey League. The only note on him was that, is he perhaps going to be undersized in the NHL? Maybe that took a little bit of time in fully handing the reins over to him. And then, of course, once the Flames traded Jacob Markstrom away, it opened the door. And so far, Dustin Wolf off to a good start. Certainly some moments like you expect from any rookie goaltender of he's still getting himself broken in.
Yeah.
But he shows the talent that has been so tantalizing for years, as he is now a full-time NHLer and a chance to really take this job and run with it.
And that's what you always expect with a rookie goaltender, right? There's going to be ups and downs. There's going to be swings anyway. But when he's on, he's very on. And you see that potential in him. And especially, you know, I saw the story come out against the Penguins where there's an old picture of him with Sidney Crosby when he was a kid at a camp, and now he's stopping Sidney Crosby in a shootout. So the crazy way that those things work out. But someone who certainly has the pedigree, we've gotten to see him a lot against the Silver Knights as well, and now he's made it to the big show.
We've reached a point, haven't we, where you know when you have that moment where you realize players that in your mind are still young players aren't anymore? Now we're beyond that, but Sid the Kid is the furthest thing from one.
You're 20 for but Sid now.
We had there's the Dustin Wolf story. There was the Brendan Brisson story last year when he scores first NHL goal. We're getting to that point where we realize, A, Sidney Crosby's been around for a long time, and B, he seems to say yes to a lot of youth events, doesn't he? Everyone's got a picture of Sidney Crosby from 15 years ago.
It's good for the social media content these days for a lot of these. Yeah, it's good to see the growth of and the impact that Sidney Crosby's had on a lot of these young hockey players.
If he isn't doing it already, somebody has to call Connor Bedard and be like, hey, you're expected to go to all these kids' parties. this is where we have the future photo ops. For the Golden Knights, also they welcome back a few former Golden Knights, Daniil Miramanov, Braden Paul, and Anthony Mantha, all with the Calgary Flames. And I would expect, I haven't seen the lineup for the Flames, but likely in the lineup tonight. For the Golden Knights, we mentioned again banging on all cylinders and that top line of Mark Stone, Jack Eichel, and Ivan Barbashev. Mark Stone literally getting accolades from the NHL earlier today as the best player in the league for the past week. But a trio that's really firing on all cylinders, and we're still so early in the season that you got to be honest and say there's still probably room to grow for that trio.
And certainly they would agree with it. You know, I think that Jack Eichel always critical of his game, even maybe when he doesn't need to be. You know, I'm sure he wants more out of himself. We've heard him say, you know, he wants to produce it a little bit more of a consistent clip. But you look at Jack and you're like, hey, man, I don't know what more you can do. This line's clicking on all cylinders right now. But, you know, I think for the Golden Knights, you look to that line. You also look to William Karlsson, who, again, came back against the San Jose Sharks, had the funky shorthanded goal where Vitek Vanacek was way out of his crease. He took advantage, and he got it by for the shorthander. A typical William Karlsson return, just a shorthand goal, nothing big. It didn't even look like he missed any time, and an excellent story there for the Golden Knights, and hopefully they can rely on him again tonight.
Another area for growth too, we saw a glimpse at the end of preseason. It's a glare now. Tomáš Hertl is looking like Tomáš Hertl,
yep,
and benefiting from that is Pavel Dorofeev, who's had a really nice start to the season. This was a year where it was going to be, okay, can Pavel Dorofeev, he's been an NHLer, can he now grab the reins and be an everyday producer, a line driver, and so far so good.
And Pavel Dorofeev, we saw it in the last couple of years where he'd score in bunches as he got into the lineup, right? But I think great point that you make there. And can we stick him with a guy and you have that kind of duo, right, with him and Hertl and just wind him up and watch him go? And that's what happened. We saw it in the final preseason game. We had hopes that they would turn into something in the regular season. Took a little while to get going, but, I mean, yeah, another line that's clicking on all cylinders and creating some beautiful goals out of it as well.
Now, before we say goodbye to you all this afternoon, me and Justin are sitting in chairs next to each other. We have to talk about the team that we interact with the most, which is the Henderson Silver Knights. A bit of a bumpy homestand they had, but they pulled off a 5-1 win in Ontario last night. They have two more games against Ontario this weekend, a home and home. Golden Knights 2-5 to start the season, but last night all their
Silver
big
Knights.
Names. Did I say Golden Knights?
You did say Golden
we
Knights.
We almost made it the whole show. We almost
one,
55
one strike
minutes.
For Brian. One strike for Brian.
0 days without an accident.
Mm.
The Silver Knights, a 5-1 win last night, and a lot of the big names that they need to be drivers showed up on the sheet yesterday.
That game yesterday for the Silver Knights was exactly what the doctor ordered. A 5-1 victory over the Ontario Reign. Gage Quinney with a couple of power play goals. Head coach Ryan Craig had challenged some of his top players, said, we need you guys to get going. And they responded in a big way with a big win. And hopefully with another couple of games against Ontario coming up next weekend, or this weekend rather, they can continue that. Hopefully kickstart them after a slow start to the season.
Two wins for the VGK. There was two goals yesterday for Gage Quinney. Rafael Lavoie got his first. As a Silver Knight, Kalen Addison, 5 points in two games. He's been a good addition.
He's been a revelation. I mean, comes in on Wednesday or Thursday last week, gets in the game on Friday, has a couple of assists, and added three more on Sunday. So you talk about a guy who, you know, inserted into the lineup right away. You never know what you're going to get, but he has been running from or firing on all cylinders from the go for the Silver Knights.
Running that power play, Kalen Addison doing Kalen Addison things. That's going to do it for us on Nighttime at Noon. Big hockey night at T-Mobile Arena. The Calgary Flames face the Golden Knights at 7 p.m. Pre-game coverage on Scripps at 6:30 and here on Fox Sports Las Vegas at 6 p.m. with Ryan Wallace. Big thanks to Ben Thomas, the Director of Latino Marketing and Outreach for the VGK, as he helped us promote Los VGK. That's this Saturday. Make sure you get your tickets. Visit VegasGoldenKnights.com. He's Justin Russo. I'm Brian McCormick. Thanks for hanging out with us on Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.